Our scripture reading today is from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give to him throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants."
In the fall of the year 2000, our son Philip and his wife Heather got married. And 2 weeks after that, Bern and I, and Bern's twin brother and his wife Sally, we got on an airplane, and then we got on a ship. And we did a cruise of the Mediterranean. And while we did that, one of our ports of call was in Turkey, and part of that is a town called Ephesus. Ephesus is an old, old city. And while we were there, you could look off into the distance, and you could see the sea, because Ephesus had been a port 2,000 years ago. And there had been silt and dirt and accumulation, and that was no longer a port. But there was this street that went down, and they said it went all the way to the sea back 2,000 years ago. It was quite awesome. We got to walk on that sea. We also got to look at some of the artwork that was around there. It was beautiful. There was also the ruins of a huge library that was part of Ephesus back 2,000 years ago. Then we got in a bus and we went up into the hills beyond there. And the first stop we stopped was at a church, or the ruins of a church. And it was where tradition holds that John, the Apostle John, the beloved disciple, was buried and lived. And then we went a little farther into the hills, and there was a place where tradition holds that Mary, the mother of Jesus, lived, and she died. Now, I had gone all those years of my life, up to 2000, never knowing that tradition. And so that was an amazing thing to me. But the most amazing thing is that our tour guide, who was this very tall, very handsome young man, and he was Turkish, and he was Muslim, and he's the one that told us that story. And ever since then, I just find any and all things about Mary very fascinating. So that's what I want us to think about today. I want us to think about Mary. My Bible calls it the Annunciation. Your Bible does too, doesn't it? And after the Annunciation is a part called the Magnificat, and that is where Mary writes about her experience of what happened to her through poetry and song. So we have Mary, this 12, 13, 14-year-old, they don't really know, someone who today we would call a child, maybe a tween, a kid in middle school, that awkward time when you're not quite a kid anymore, but you're not quite an adult either. But back then, she was old enough to be engaged. She was old enough to be married. She was old enough to have children, and she was old enough to run a household. And she was anything but meek and mild. I think Mary was very courageous. She was brave, and she was not a pushover. She was smart, and she was thoughtful. And she had this wonderful questioning mind. And there was a lot going in her mind between Gabriel's appearance with the words, "Greeting, favored one," and the words farther on in the scripture where Mary says, "Let it be according to your word." Mary is by turns perplexed, confused, and perhaps a little troubled by those angel words. And how could she not be? She protests that she is too young and too inexperienced. She is common, ordinary, and of little account in her society and her world. And she was definitely not the stuff that legends were made of. And she knew all of that. Only after expressing her wonder and her doubts then, and hearing Gabriel's affirmation and promise again, does she manage to summon the courage to believe that God has indeed favored her by working in her life. I've been thinking about that, and I wonder, what does it feel like to be favored by God? I think it was no small thing for Mary to be favored by God when she was aware of her position in society. But God had a plan to do something quite marvelous in her world and in her life. And then in verse 34, towards the end of what Todd read, Mary says the all-important question, "How is this going to be? How can this be? This is impossible." The story of Gabriel's announcement to Mary is surrounded by impossibilities. Right before our scripture reading is the story of Elizabeth, John the Baptizer's mom. And Elizabeth gives this statement. She says these really sad and also wondrous words. She says, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably upon me and took away the disgrace I endured among my people." An impossible story, an impossible event, and only the angel's confession changes that. because the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. And I think those words find their deepest expression in these stories. A barren, elderly woman is pregnant. A teenage girl from a nothing town is favored. And I think, do we get that? Do we really know what that means? This impossible possibility of God. Do we really get that God is always near and that God is involved in our lives in ways that are mysterious, just like they were for Mary? Mary had to choose. She had to decide to hold on to take hold of an unknown life that the angel was proposing to her. She had a choice. She could say yes. She could defend herself in any way she could so that it wouldn't happen. I think we also have similar choices like that. We can say yes or we can say no. We can say yes, I will live this life that is being held out to me. Or no, I just want to pass. We can say yes, I will explore this unexpected turn of events. Or we can just say no. With Mary's yes, though, hope is renewed and history is changed. An impossible future has come from God. Mary's own story moves us from who we think we are to what God calls us to be, here and now. And you know, the other cool thing is that when you read Luke chapter 1, you see Mary changing. And she changes from this very frightened, very scared teenager, she changes to be a prophet with a mission. She speaks about what God has done and is doing, and then as the prophet, she lets people know what the future must look like, what God's realm will feel like. What God calls his people to do, he tells us, she tells us, that we are part of God's plan to scatter the proud, to bring down the powerful, to lift up the lowly, and to feed the hungry. God will remember his people with mercy. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. And I said to you at that time that I didn't think we could probably be Jesus. But I thought we could be John the Baptizer. Because John the Baptizer introduces people to Jesus and the Jesus way. And today, I'd like to add to the list that I think we can all be Mary also. Mary had a baby and gave the world Jesus. We can also give the world Jesus by living the Jesus way. We can serve, we can care, we can give, and we can speak, and we can listen, and we can love. We can embody Jesus. We can show others that what Jesus way is all about. Do you think that God is still interrupting our lives? Can you imagine God looking at each one of you right now and God seeing you as favored? Can you imagine that God has a plan for you to do marvelous, wonderful things in your life? Now, I know that like Mary, you're going to be perplexed, and you're going to be a little confused, and you're going to be a little troubled with this idea that God has noticed you. So take a couple moments. before you jump right in like Mary and say, "Here I am, servant of God," take a little time to contemplate how God is at work in you and through you. And I want you to imagine one thing, one concrete thing that you can do to make a difference between today and Christmas. I want you to think about a thing that you can do that you know that God is with you and that you are showing God to the world. And then I want you to say to yourself, "I am favored of God. God wants to do great things in me." And one of those things would be, and you can fill in the blank. I think if the angel Gabriel showed up here today, he would say to each of you, "Greetings, favored ones. The Lord is with you and intends to do great things through you." And then you might, like Mary, might wonder, how can that be? We're just ordinary, everyday people. And then Gabriel would respond, "Yet you have found favor through God, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and guide you and work through you to care for this world and the people that God loves so very much. For nothing is impossible with God." And I know that as the angel Gabriel stands before each of you, I know you will answer, "Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Today, we light the candle of love. It's incredible to be noticed, to be called favored, and to be invited to be part of God's work. It's an incredible thing to be loved. And it's an incredible thing to be loved no matter what. And that comes from God.